Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Strauss Group second quarter 2015 results conference call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question-and-answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, August 20th, 2015. I would like to remind everyone that the conference may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions and may change as time passes. Strauss does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of the changing industry and market trends, reduced demand for our products, the timely development of our new products, and their adoption by the market, increased competition in the industry, and price reductions, as well as due to risks identified in the documents filed by the company with the ISA. With us on the line today are Mr. Gadi Alexsen, President and CEO of Strauss Group, Mr. Shachar Florence, CFO, and Ms. Talia Cesler, Director of Investor Relations. Mr. Alexsen, would you like to begin, please?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon and good morning to everyone, and thank you for joining us on this conference call to discuss the results of the second quarter of 2015 for Strauss Group. With me today are Shachar Florence, our CFO, and Talia Cesler, our Director of Investor Relations. You should have our presentation, which we published earlier today. On slide five and six, we provide some of the business highlights and the events impacting the various operating segments. On slide nine and 10, we provide more detail on our strategy moving forward in light of the challenges we face and how we are navigating it. As I would like to leave more time for a Q&A, I will skip these four slides and address these topics through our Q&A session. Hence, let's move on to slide number seven. Summarize of our non-GAAP performance highlights for Q2 2015. Sales were 1.8 billion shekel, which was a decrease by 5.7% year-over-year in shekel terms. Though, I note that organic sales in local currency terms, which exclude the impact of change in foreign exchange, we experienced slight growth in sales amounting to 0.6%. Both growth and operating margins were impacted this quarter, with gross margins at 37.4%, down 200 basis points versus last year, and operating margins at 6.1%, down 208 basis points. Our net profit was 31 million shekels in the quarter, leading to earnings per share of 0.29. In slide number eight, summarize our non-GAAP performance highlights for first half of 2015. Year-to-date results reflect similar trends and are overall better due to relatively strong results in Q1 this year. Before I hand over the call to Shachar Florence to discuss the financial results in the quarter in more detail, I would like to congratulate Shachar and wish him a great happy 50th birthday. Shachar, happy birthday, please.
Thank you. I admit that I could have chosen a better quarter to celebrate, but let me try and review the major events during this quarter, and maybe I'll be able to explain better the quarter. There are four major events that happened during this quarter, and when the four of them join together, they have a great impact on the financial results. The first of them, and it's not necessarily according to the size of the impact or the amounts that are involved. The first of them is the debt arrangement of Mega, which is the second-largest retailer in Israel, which was or is working right now under something like Chapter 11. process under the court decision. We have provided, due to the deferral of the payment of Mega, around 13 million shekel, 11 of them in the segment of Strauss Israel, another two in the segment of Strauss Coffee Israel. And this is just due to the delay in payment, and we grossed up according to the relative risks. Right now they are paying, all of their debt. We haven't wrote off anything, but the accounting forces to reevaluate the payment according to the delay. So this is the first one. And of course, it comes up based on the total situation of retailers in Israel with relatively low margins. And there are many reasons for that, and we've talked about it in previous quarters, but this quarter it was 13 million shekels provision for doubtful debts. The second thing that happened during this quarter is the recall in Sabra. We have found one pack, not a set of packages, not in the factory, but and not in the thousands of tests that we have made since then with other products that we have, but only one sample. But we didn't take any risk, and we've made a recall in Sabra during those days of the recall. It takes you time to recall everything and then to ship again. And remember that in this situation you still don't know if it's just one batch or the risk is in the factory. Everything that I've told you we found out later on that actually we didn't have anything or any contamination in any other places, but it takes a day or two to recycle the inventory in the retailers' warehouses. So though the direct cost of the recall is not significant, but the reduction in sales, and after all, we were 64 at that time, percent market share. When we go down the whole vegetable-based dips and spreads market goes down, and the impact was that we have put a lot of effort and resources into marketing to make sure that this case will impact Q2 and only Q2, and we sacrificed some of the profit in Sabra. We ended up with about a 50% reduction in the profits of Sabra, but I can happily say that we have succeeded to quarter this event into this quarter, and we have came back almost to the same market share percentages. We are about 62% now, and still going up. And I assume we'll go back to the 64% that we have been very fast. And the quantities and the prices in the market went back, so we assume that there will be very little impact in Q3 and probably no impact further on. But it cost us a lot of effort to do that. The third case was the we have wrote off some goodwill in Serbia. The results of Serbia are included in the coffee segment performance, so you could see them during the last year. But we wrote off about 8 million shekels goodwill in the EBIT. It's not it wasn't classified as a one-time occasion, so it's in the EBIT. And this is an 8 million shekel, the write-off of the intangible asset. The third, which is actually not a one-time occasion, but a phenomena, we are suffering from the softness of mainly the ruble and the real. Just to give you the order of magnitude, the sales in Brazil represents about 20-25% of the total turnover of the group, and the real was devalued about 20% year-over-year versus the shekel. And of course, it impacts not only the translation of sales, but also the translation in profit. So you can see in our board report, though the Brazilian business in the local currency went, sorry, it performed very well. Actually, the total amount of sales went up 10%, as if you are looking only on roast and ground, taking out the green coffee export, which is a business that not always behave the same because it's not a branded product through the retailers to the end users. So if you're looking on green coffee sales, it went up even 23% quarter-over-quarter, taking a market share. We are already more than 24% market share in Brazil. Still in shekels, the total turnover of the business in Brazil went down 10%. So this is just to get, and by the way, the profits are impacted almost the same. You could look at slide 24 in the presentation. You can see the 9.5% growth of the Brazilian business, improving the gross margin, improving the EBIT margins. But you can understand that in shekels, a 20% loss over 50, which is the 5%, just brought us to the same point as the last year. Some of the improvement came from the RNG business in Brazil. I'm talking about local currency, and the other is due to the fact that CREST, the single portion project that we are running in Brazil, is performing very well, and the losses were cut almost by half, and we expect this business to be profitable very soon. We are selling hundreds of thousands machines in Brazil. For sure, we are number one in this category of single portion, and we intend to keep the situation like this. This was about the real. The Russian ruble was devalued about 50% year-over-year. Though we have managed to stabilize the business in Russia, the business is profitable and growing. The translation into shekels hit us. So if I'm going back to slide number 13, the sales this quarter went down, as Gadi said, 5.7%, and the erosion of the gross margin, mainly due to the fact that the foreign currencies were devalued also against the dollar, which, for example, coffee traded more than the reduction in the prices of coffee, and the impact of writing off the bad debt. And the intangible hit also the operating profit. The order of magnitude of this reduction reduced the net profit by about 50%, though we have some improvement in the tax segment, and some of the minority also too. On the other hand, we had a very good cash flow quarter again, though that we suffered from the deferral of the mega payment, and it's a significant amount of money, but though we couldn't collect all the money, and it will come back about 70% of it in the next quarter, we had a very good quarter in CapEx. And you can see the significant reduction in CapEx, We just finished the investment in the logistics center in Israel, in Shoham, and also in the enlargement of the production facility in Virginia, in Sabra. Both of them were finished, and we assume that we'll go back to the regular amount of investment that you can see before the last, let's say, 2 year or year and a half. So we are going down from about 400-500 million shekel per year CapEx to around 250-270, which is roughly the depreciation in the books. So we kept almost the same amount of debt, and we will reduce it over time now where the investment in CapEx will go to the normal stage. So we talked about the... I'm moving to slide number 14. We talked about the influence of the devaluation of the currencies versus the shekel. You can see it in the last 2 years, and every year the reduction of sales due to the change of the shekel is bigger than the total reduction in sales, and this is the reason we have reported an organic growth in sales. So other things like quantities and prices went up, and on the other hand, the translation took the sales down, both in the quarter and in the next slide. The same phenomena in the first half of the year. There is one thing that we have mentioned last year in Israel. The food law forced us to reclassify some of the sales into marketing expenses. It doesn't have any impact on the EBIT, but it does reduce the, on one hand, the sales and the COGS and the gross margins. On the other hand, it reduced the marketing expenses. It represents about half of the reduction in sales for Strauss Israel. And you can see, in slide number 16, 5% for Strauss Israel reduction versus 3% reduction excluding the food law. Strauss Coffee and Sabra, or the whole segment of dips and spreads, it shows you the two sides of the currencies. So though Strauss Coffee sales went up 7.6% in local currencies, in shekels it went down 8%. And on the other hand, Sabra sales were reduced only by 4.3%, and I say only because of the recall. It just shows you that the first weeks of the recall, for sure it was higher numbers, and we could have catched up towards the end of the quarter. But on the other hand, in shekels, despite of the recall, we still the sales were higher than the previous quarter last year. And I'll talk about the other segment in a while when we'll talk about the EBIT. I think that I covered the gross margin when I talked about the sales and the prices of coffee. Remember that those coffee prices are going down. First of all, it does not apply to Brazil, and you have the price of coffee in Brazil graph in the presentation in the appendices. But also for the rest of the world, remember that we are covering ourselves, and we will enjoy more extent during the next quarter the reduction in coffee prices. Right now we're still in the coverage that we've made before prices went down. Looking on the EBIT number in slide number 20, you have again the details about the main events in the quarter that influenced the quarter, and you can see the order of magnitude of those things, excluding the foreign exchange, because it's different from one company to another. But again, if you're taking about 118 million shekels erosion of sales, multiplied by the, let's say, average EBIT, you can understand the 8-7% for the countries that were devaluated, then you can understand the order of magnitude, about 7% out of the 118, and altogether it gives you the most of the explanation to the EBIT. When I'm talking about the EBIT, let's look on slide number 22, and here you can see the good improvement that we have done in the other segment, mainly which represents other than the headquarters of Strauss, it represents Strauss Water and Max Brezza. And you can see that we moved from a loss of 3 million shekels to a profit of 9 million shekels, which is a great improvement for the two businesses. The improvement comes from the two businesses. Let's have a word about Strauss Water. We have just signed, as we published, new agreement and business arrangement in China with Haier. We were partners with Haier, 50-50% joint venture for a product that are manufactured by Strauss Water. Haier has had a separated business of their own, mainly in the technology of reverse osmosis. We have merged those two businesses. The Haier business was a bit bigger than the joint business. So we have 34% of the jointly new business that include both the sales of the machine and the technology developed by Strauss Water and the reverse osmosis business of Haier. This is the reason, by the way. We've talked a lot about the new arrangement of the business in the previous quarter, the new arrangement will be affecting Q3 and on, and you'll see it from now on in our equity profits line, which up until now we didn't have because we didn't have minority holding in any of our businesses. So this is about Strauss Water. About Sabra, again, here you can see the reduction. We went down from 23 million shekels last year to 14 million shekels. This is the impact that I mentioned when I talked about the heavy investment in marketing efforts during this quarter. And you can see also in the next slide the sales of Sabra and what I said about how that we have succeeded to make sure that this event will be a short-term event, hitting mainly Q2, a little bit of Q3 at the beginning of the quarter, but it seems that we are out of this situation. And again, slide number 24, where I talked about it before, and you can see the good results Brazil has on local currency base. And we've mentioned before the translation effect. We are providing you the data about the EBITDA just to enable you to build better the models that you are building, but actually the trends are relatively very similar to the EBIT. So in the next slide number 27, the aggregate amount of the impact on the EBIT reduced a little bit when it came down to the net profit, but as a matter of percentage, of course, that over the 69 million shekels net profit that we had in the previous quarter in 14, the impact percentage-wise is much more significant, and percentage-wise reduced the net profit and the profit per share in a bigger 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 effect on the net profit. And with that, I think we can hand over the call to you, and we'll be more than happy to answer any question that you might have.
Thank Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you're using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question from Tavy Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Chris Reimer on for Tavy. First of all, congratulations to you, Shachar, on your birthday. Another thing I wanted to ask about is if you could give some color on the food law and how the company is dealing with it, the effects of it, and also anything you can mention about how you're looking at competition and private labels, especially in salads. If you could give any color on that, that'd be great.
I'll take the easier part, which is just explaining the technicality behind the food law and how it impacts the financials, and Gadi will answer you in more details. The food law had forbidden some of the, or let's say, certain ways of a trading relationship with the retailers, such as a trading arrangement about buy two and buy one and get two, and so on and so forth. The retailers can do that, but the suppliers cannot be involved in it. On the other hand, let's assume that, you know, the total relationship and the total profit split stayed the same. So we had to give some of the reductions in prices directly, and on the other hand, the retailers did their own offering to the customers. And I gave you one example. I'm not sure even this is the main thing, but certain arrangement, instead of having them as a special arrangement, we had to do it in the price list. And on the other hand, it reduced the marketing and sales expenses. So technically, it reduced the line of the sales. It impacted the gross margins, but it didn't have any effect on the EBIT. So this is, in technical way, the impact of the food law, and Gadi will talk about the, you know, the real relationship with the retailers.
Okay, so regarding the private label, so we need to remember that in all our portfolio abroad and including in Israel, in most of the categories, we are facing a competition against the private label. For us, and I'm not saying it literally, it's a competition. So at the same time, we need to know how to handle the relationship with our clients as clients, and to give them all the benefits, the added value that we are used to give to our customers and consumers via the customers. And on the same time, yes, it's a competition. And in this case, we're used to. And when I'm saying used to, this is our life. We need to give more added value, more innovation. We understand the ball game. And I can share with you that we are investing a lot to really create the right added value. And every year, yes, it's tougher and tougher because the basic products are getting better and better. And I think that it's the right challenge for us as suppliers. You ask about Israel. So yes, in Israel, now the trend become even, let's say, faster, and with more powerful and motivation of our biggest clients. But with the experience that we had in the last 2 years in Israel, in some of the categories, we saw that for us being number one in most of the categories, if we are doing the right moves, we are keeping the market share, and in some cases, even getting more market share by building the right hierarchy between the brands and the private labels.
I see. Okay, thank you. And also, just a question on the coffee. I'm sorry if I didn't get it from before. You mentioned that you expect to to see an increase, was that starting next quarter, or was that already into 2016, as a result of the lower pricing?
We are not giving a forecast, but coffee prices in the world that determined in dollars are going down. You can see it in let me see in which slide. You could see it in slide 61 for the Arabica and 62 for Robusta. So we will enjoy lower prices of coffee as time goes on and the previous coverage is being used. Of course, the other side is dependent on the market dynamics, which will be the selling prices. But yes, we will be able to enjoy lower coffee prices. But on the other hand, you could see in slide number, I think it's 63, that in Brazil, it haven't occurred yet. Usually the Brazilian coffee market react upon the global market, usually 1-2 quarters in delay. So I hope that also in the Brazilian market, prices will go down. It can't be disconnected for too long. And again, these are the coffee prices. The other side of the margin is the selling prices, and this is depends on the market, but at least we will have the opportunity to enjoy lower coffee prices.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question from Robert Dickerson of Consumer Edge Research. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you. Just a couple quick questions. So I guess just following up on your comments around coffee cost and pricing. So you can get the benefit from lower coffee costs, but what would be your expectation for kind of overall pricing at retail, I don't know, over the next 6 to 12 months? I mean, it seems as if there's, the obvious expectation should be that consumers in most markets should be seeing lower coffee prices. Is that fair?
First of all, till it gets to the consumer, it can go, through the retailers and they have and we have taking some major increases in coffee prices before. I would say the role of the suppliers in this industry is to observe some of the volatility in the coffee prices. So prices doesn't always go up and down with the prices of the commodity, and we always see that when coffee prices goes up, the manufacturers, and it applies to Strauss, but it applies to other vendors as well, are reduced or shrink a little bit. And when coffee prices goes down, usually the margins of the producers goes up. And this phenomenon happens all the time, and I can refer you to previous reports of Strauss and previous calls like this that we had. When it goes up and when it goes down, usually 1-2 quarter in a row because of the coverage that almost every player or all the players in this industry have. So this is, to generalize things. Yes, of course, that if it stays for longer term, it impacts also the prices to the retailers. But we have to understand that we, in all of activities all around the world, we do not set the prices to the consumers. This is the retailers' job. And the transformation of prices, of green coffee price to consumer prices are not 100% one-to-one.
Yes, and I would like to add another element that we need to be aware that according to the new antitrust law in Israel, unfortunately or fortunately, We cannot share with anyone our pricing strategy. It became against the law, so it's just to take the general answer of Shachar and not to be specific regarding our price list.
Okay, fair enough. I'm just asking because, you know, obviously we can see, you know, kind of year over year that coffee prices are, you know, down substantially, and the expectation, at least in the United States, would be that, you know, over the next 6 to 9 months that we would see a substantial reduction in retail coffee prices. Anyway, so,
Just one word. The only exercise that I can recommend you to do, take the quarterly profit EBIT of Schwarz Coffee, and take the coffee prices 2 quarters before. If you'll put the graphs one on one, you'll find a very good correlation between the two of them.
Oh yeah, no, I completely agree. I've done that. I was just curious to hear what your response would be. Secondly, I guess, you know, your international coffee division on an organic sales basis is growing quite nicely. I'd say, you know, better than some companies. Would you say, you know, I may have just missed it on the call, but you know, could you provide a bit more colors or, you know, what the breakout of pricing and volume is? I mean, is that a lot of that being driven by pricing because of, you know, higher coffee prices over the past 12 months? Or, you know, do you continue to see volume growth in just regular roast and ground in countries like Brazil? Thank you.
The answer to your question is not the same for all of the countries. And you can understand that, for example, if we have grown 36% in CIS, not all of it comes from quantities. A big chunk of it comes from prices. On the other hand, if we're talking about Brazil, in Brazil, coffee prices almost didn't go up. So most of it is by quantities. We don't provide the exact numbers of prices versus quantities, but you can, you know, get the conclusions from the numbers themselves. And I just not to be too apologetic about it. It sometimes to do that can be misleading because it's always the question: if you reduce prices, maybe it stimulate the quantities, and maybe the higher quantities come from higher prices or vice versa, and so on and so forth. But again, just two quick examples in Brazil, and you can see that we've taken market share. This is, let's say, external public information from Nielsen and Latin Panel that are measuring the market shares in Brazil. So most of the increase was in quantities. In Russia, some of the increase was in quantity. Lots of it came from prices, and the other countries are, you know, different from one to the other.
Okay, cool. And then lastly, I feel like I always need to ask, is there any update you'd like to give with respect to kind of, you know, the strategic direction of the coffee business regarding, you know, spinning, going public, or, you know, additional third-party co-investment? Are we kind of still in that period such that you're, you know, entertaining options and looking at, you know, appropriate value creation, et cetera? Or is there anything different that we should be aware of? Thank you.
Okay. So, let's be short, very short. Unfortunately, we don't have any news today, nothing new regarding the TPG exit. Yes, we are ready with our partners, TPG, for the three alternatives. One is the IPO, taking the coffee company to be a public one. The second one is a buyout, that we will buy the 25%, and the third option is that the third party will buy TPG's part. Till now, we are ready for the three alternatives. We are running many discussions between the partners and with external, let's say, candidates, but nothing to share with you today, nothing new. And I can promise you that when it will happen, of course, we will share the information. And I think that it's a relevant question to ask our partners as well.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available starting Sunday. In Israel, please call 03-925-5930. Internationally, call 972-3-925-5930. A replay of this call will also be available on the company's website at www.strauss-group.com. Mr. Lesen, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yes. Shachar, thank you again for the analysis and the inputs. Let's summarize our discussion. In light of several negative factors, including currency headwinds and some weak international economy, where we operate, as well as increased competition in our home base, Q2 was a tough quarter, but some of the negative factors affecting it are now behind us. We see early signs of improvement in our competitive position in our home base. The restructuring in China is now complete, and the recall at Sabra is over, and we believe we can resume our double-digit growth there. We continue to invest considerable efforts in product innovation and streamlining measures throughout the length of our value chain, which will further contribute to Strauss's ability to contend with the challenges that the market will continue to pose this year. Thank you all for joining us today, and we look forward to speaking with you next quarter.
Thank you. This concludes Strauss Group's second quarter 2015 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.